I still want to kind of reiterate something that I did yesterday, and I'm going to do it somehow at the beginning of every class, because I think this is really important for us to let this kind of thinking enter our mind. We are not talking to you about something that is unnatural. If it is unnatural, no one can do it. We are talking to you about what it is to be natural human. Now, all of us would agree that there's things wrong in this world. And if you'll look, most of them are, the wrong is coming from the way man thinks. Okay? So, obviously, if God made us with good, whole minds, we have fallen in our mind. Okay? And we think unnaturally. Okay? That's the way I want you to begin to think. For instance, if you desired to do the will of the Father, it would restore your mind. Isn't that good? You understand? The question is, do you want to be healed? He came to heal our souls. Do you want to be healed? And if any of us that would look at it correctly would want to be. But with this perverted mind, we look at it and we say, I don't want that. You need to be leery of the way you think. Be leery of the way you think. There's a story of a man who was standing by a stream, and he was looking at this beautiful stream, and he began to meditate on things. And as he did, a scorpion came floating down the stream. And it got caught under a branch, and the force of the water began to pull him under. And he reaches in with his hand to save the scorpion, and when he does, a scorpion stings him. And he throws him off, he lands back in the stream, and he floats down again. He gets caught under the same limb, the force of the water draws him under the water again, and he's drowning. And the man reaches again, and he stings him again. And he does it again and again until his hand is swollen. It's approaching the size of a football. It's bleeding. And another guy walks up and he watches him. He says, man, what are you doing? You're crazy. He said, that thing's going to kill you. And he says, well, he can't help it. It's his nature. He said, yes, but why do you keep reaching? He said, it's my nature. I wonder if that's the true nature of a human being. And when we live in lifestyles that we have learned that teaches us that we should stop being compassionate, there's something wrong with being compassionate. I wonder if it drives us insane. Just a question. Okay? Because everybody in here would agree there are real problems on this earth. Isn't there? Do you know that since World War II, not including the deaths in World War II, since World War II, there's been more people killed by war on this earth than all the world wars, including World War II and before. It just wasn't me and you most of the time. All religion comes from a question. And the question is this: what kind of God is God, if he exists? And what does he require of me, if anything? From the time that man was able to think and to reason, he looks at this universe. He looks out at this beautiful blue sky. If we were outside right now, and these 70-foot tall pine trees, and we could have looked at the stars last night, and the moon, and the sun, and the ocean. We look at all of this, and we say, you know, there's something bigger than me. I can't make a tree. A tree can't make a sun. There's something bigger than what I'm looking at. It's just, that's a natural thing. I don't know how a person could think as though there's not something bigger than us. When you look at how this thing is ordered, and there's an order in you and I. Even the things in this world that look so chaotic has an order in them. They have reasons that they happen. I wonder how you can look at that and ever say, oh, this was an accident. You know, that's kind of like thinking that a tornado could go through a junkyard and the end product would be a 747. It won't happen. So it takes somebody with real faith to believe that there's no God. I mean, that takes a double-barrel dose to believe there's no God. They just, as we look at this, that question arises in us. What is this bigger thing than us, and what does it require of me? It's kind of obvious what it requires of other things, because a tree doesn't have the ability to do anything but just be a tree. But I have the ability to reason and to choose amongst millions of different possibilities if my mind's open enough to think that way. What is required of me? There are basically three ways in which man answers the question. I'm going to share with you those. First way that I'll talk about is man answers the question of what kind of God is and what he requires of me, if anything, with liturgical faith. Liturgy is simply how the group comes together and expresses himself towards God. It's a group expression. You understand? In other words, in liturgical faith, we are saying that the truth is meant to be worshiped by the group. Okay? I'm not talking against this now. I'm just explaining to you what, in the very simplest forms, what liturgical faith is. It is bowing down as a group to truth. Okay? The second way that I'm going to mention, just briefly, is conceptual faith. Conceptual faith says truth is meant to be known. It's a mental assent to certain doctrines and dogmas. It's something that you know in your head. The third way that man answers the question of what kind of God is and what he requires of me, if anything, is with incarnational faith. An incarnational faith says that it is not enough to worship the truth. It's not enough to know the truth. The truth is meant to be lived. The truth is meant to be incarnated in this human form. Now, probably if we're truthful about this, all of these happen at the same time in someone that's healthy, because man needs liturgy. Man needs a concept. Most of all, man needs to live the concept. It is what brings the reality into existence. It is the way we truly magnify God. You don't magnify God doing this. And I'm not, you know, I do that. You magnify God with a lifestyle. You say amen to God with a lifestyle. That's the message of Jesus. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Or, it's not those that say Lord, Lord that enter the kingdom when? What's the only time there is? Now. It's not those that say, Lord, Lord, that enter the kingdom, but those that do the will of the Father. I got a clock on my wall in my office that wherever place there's a number up there, it says now. Now. Now somebody walks in and says, what time it is? I say, it's now. It's that's what the clock says on it, all over it, now. What time is it now? I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, you know. You can look at it and tell the time. It's 15 minutes till now. You know, but if this whole idea of incarnating the truth in us, it's what it restores us to our sanity. Okay? So, if Jesus is God, it is not enough to worship the truth. It's not enough to come together in a group and bow down to the truth. It is not enough to know the truth, you know, mentally assenting to doctrines and dogmas. The truth has to be incarnated in you. Truth is meant to be lived. Matter of fact, liturgical faith and conceptual faith alone, if Jesus is God, will produce you in believing in magic. They become magic if they are not supportive of us incarnating the truth in us. How many of you ever heard a story like this, or maybe have done this? Don't be too tough on yourself if you've done it. You've walked into the church with a little baby, or heard of somebody that did, and said to the priest, "Father, I want my baby baptized." He said, "Well, I don't recognize you. You come to church here?" "Oh, no, I don't go to church." "How about your husband?" "Oh, I don't have a husband. This guy, I just live with him. But we need our baby baptized." Magic. Because the priest will say, "Well, who's going to teach the baby the ways of Jesus?" Y'all do know there's a problem in the church, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. And do you know if we ever baptized our babies correctly? When you baptize a baby, you'd be putting it to death. You'd put little Jamie to death, and who would you take home? Jesus. There you go. It's no longer Jamie that lives. I'm just using the words of Paul. But Christ lives in me. I wonder if we'd drop Jesus off at a daycare center. I wonder if we would be so easy to drop our kids. And if anybody's doing that, don't you get too tough on yourself. This is a process, and I'm trying to open you up where you can see what we're doing, and we're sitting around watching the TV say, "What's going wrong?" Bless God, because we're living in a world that's teaching us more important to earn money than to raise our kids. And we're wondering what's going wrong. They go home and a TV raises them. And we're sitting around saying, "What's wrong? God." You know, let me tell you something. Little kids, when they're a certain age, should have somebody within earshot all the time. And I'm talking about pretty high up, folks. They don't know what to do. You imagine when they learn to do on their own? I'm going to share with y'all a story. And this is funny and it's not funny. I have some friends that I've met doing this. They told me when their son was 13 years old, he came home every day just like we're talking about. And the next door neighbor's kids all came home. And Mama come home one day early from work. And these three kids were in the bathtub with petroleum jelly all over the tub. They were naked rolling around in the tub. I wonder if they'd do that if Mama was there. And we say, "Why are them dumb kids doing that?" Bless God, because there's nobody raising them. They don't know there's anything wrong with that. Isn't that something? And we're sitting around saying, "What's wrong?" "Well, I got to go earn enough money to send them to school." I'm going to tell you, which is more important, school or... It's a serious problem, isn't it? Serious problem. And we got good excuses. All of us got good excuses. "Well, my husband don't earn enough money for to live on." Well, then Christians learn to live on less. That's the answer. This world says you got to learn to live on more and more. My life for 13 years has been learning how to live on less and less. So maybe I'm crazy. But I'll tell you what, I found something. I don't want the other anymore. I don't want to give up this for that. And this problem won't be, the government won't solve this problem. You can't pitch enough bucks at it. You can't tax the folks enough to solve the problem. The problem's got to be solved in your family. In my family. That's where the problem's solved. When there's a mama home with the kids. Or daddy. Mama, go ahead and go to work. Daddy, you stay home with them then. Somebody stay home with the kids. Little kids need somebody to take care of them. I didn't mean to get off on that. But it's a serious problem. And folks, the problem didn't start today. None of us, if any of you in here get the idea, we need to go back and do it the way we used to. Oh no, it's what we used to do produce this. Don't you get to thinking like that. You can't go back any place in history and say we need to do it the way they were doing it then, because it's that produced this. We need to take the new way, the way that Jesus says. And every day you wake up, there'll be something new to it, because we're in a process of becoming. Okay? Please don't be the kind of person sitting around saying, oh yes, we ought to go back and do it like they did it. No. There'd have been as many divorces 50 years ago if women weren't afraid to leave their husbands. Today they can leave them because they can make a living. You can shove it, Jack. I've had enough of you. And I'm telling you, 50 years ago, I know people would have flat left their husbands. They were afraid to. How will I eat? Because they couldn't eat. Please don't get the idea we need to go back. No, let's go forward. We're hearing something. The church is saying, you know, this is the year of the family. I wish every Catholic that two people in the family work, one of them would quit. And the rest of us got a little extra money, ought to help them. Well, but David, I want to take a vacation. Well, I know it. I do too. I want to go fishing. I know it. I do too. Three words I'd like to define for you. One I already have, and I'm going to do it again. The word repent, in Greek, the word is metanoia, and it literally means to change your mind. That is the problem. Jesus says, repent. Change your mind, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Accept the ways of the kingdom of God. And when you think of that, here's what I want you to think of. I want you to focus on not so much doing something different right now, but understanding, every one of us are people of goodwill. God made us that way. And if you understood, you will choose good. The problem is living a life not understanding it. I've said some things here this morning that there's probably some people here say, yeah, you know, I'm going to go do that different. Because you just begin to see, you know, well, I know kids can't raise themselves up. My God, I'm going to go talk to my daughter and tell her that she'd be better off for them to live on $18,000 a year and her be with her kid. By the time she pays for somebody else to take care of her kid, they're not making $2,000 more anyway, so they're doing all this for $2,000. God, I don't know why I'm on that. I wonder if somebody in here, somebody might preach to families. I don't know. This is the year of the family in our church. That's what the Pope has declared it, a year of the family. And folks, if you want to restore the sanity of this earth, it starts in the family. People in here want to be evangelizers? Evangelize your family. And to do that, you'll have to be a sacrifice. You'll sacrifice yourself for your children, for your husband, for your wives. So the thing, when I say repent to you, I want to give you something very easy to do. Just understand. That's a change of mind, isn't it? If you don't understand something and you began to understand it, your mind has been changed. Okay? That's all I want you to do. Put all of your effort towards understanding it. For instance, yesterday I used the thing about Carol's having her car stolen. So if Carol walked out of here and had her car stolen, you know I'm not so concerned about what Carol does. But here's what I'd like to be going on in Carol. For Carol to begin to understand something, and one day she may reach the conclusion, you know, the guy that took my car is worth more than the car. Oh. You mean I have been treating things as though they're worth more than people? We wouldn't have the child problem I'm talking about now if we didn't do that. I'll guarantee you we think things are worth more than people. And if you think things are worth more than the crook, you'll think things are worth more than your own. That's the way Jesus says the mind works. You don't shut that stuff on and off. If you hate one, you'll hate the other. You don't get love and hate from the same mind. Tomorrow I'll really get into that. The next word I'd like you to think about a little, or me give you a definition that I want us to work with, is lie. Yesterday I talked about telling lies. That's not what I'm talking about today. Some of you will be really relieved. Telling lies is not the problem. Now, it's a sign that there is a problem. It's not the problem. It's a sign that there's a problem. Lying is not the sin of the world. It's a sign. And see, I'm talking about telling lies. Let me give you a definition of lie today, though. Lie is conforming one's mind to what isn't real. That's what lie is. I'm talking about big time lie now. Conforming your mind to something that isn't real. That isn't reality. Let me give you an example of that that you can understand. And it's, how many of us in here, not only hands raised, have been taught all of our life by things around us that we should survive? You know, nobody does. What a frustrating life you live when your whole life is lived to survive, and down in you, you know nobody does. But I got to survive. You live a lie your whole life. See, your life becomes a lie. You ain't telling lies. I'm talking about living one. Telling the lies is a sign that we're living something wrong. Something isn't right. Okay? Then the truth would be conforming your mind to what is real. If lie is conforming it to what is not real, then the truth would be conforming it to what is real. Now, I'm going to ask you, and remember, all of your effort here, as I talk to you, I just want it to go towards understanding, nothing else. Boy, if any of you ever get a grasp of what I'm saying there, all I want your effort to go towards is understanding. Because I believe that down in the bottom of each of us is a total pure goodness. And we live the way we do out of ignorance. Jesus hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. Why? They don't know what they're doing. Oh, my goodness. I wonder if he could have continued and said, if they knew what they were doing, they wouldn't do this. If they just knew. If they just understood. If they just put their effort in understanding. Isn't that awesome? Boy, I worked changing myself so blasted hard. One day this thing hit me and I says, oh, that couldn't be right. That sounds too easy. And I began to realize when I understood, I wanted to do what was good. Isn't that an awesome thought? You know what? Jesus sweated drops of blood. He didn't want to die, but he understood. The choice is gone. This is what I want to do. There isn't any other choice. I become a part of the lie if I do anything other than this. If I resist it, I'll be trying to survive, and nobody does. He had to make that decision at 33. Yesterday I told you not to answer questions. I want you to answer them today. Okay, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions I want you to answer. Please, everybody answers. Please answer by raising your hand. How many in here believe that Jesus was truly human? This is a basic tenet of our church. Jesus was truly human. Okay. How many in here believe that he had a perfectly sound human mind? Raise your hand. Get your hands up, everybody. Now, how many people in here think just like him? Okay. Well, something really good to understand there. Without much effort, I put forth the effort. Jesus was truly human. He had a perfectly sound human mind, and we don't, none of us think like him. What does that say about mine and your mind? It's unsound. Anybody know what the definition of an unsound mind is? Insane. That's exactly what it means. You know, the first time I ever did what we're doing right now, I did it in this classroom, and I really hadn't thought about it a lot. I just kind of walked into it and sitting where Cindy's sitting, a doctor was sitting. And I said, "Doc, what's the definition of an unsound mind?" He said, "Insanity." So ever since I've used it, it's insane. So isn't it really crazy that a bunch of insane people would be calling other people insane? That's why Jesus said, "Don't judge. You're not capable of it. You don't even know what's good and what's bad." Isn't that an awesome thought? "Why, yes, I do." But you bet on it. So, isn't that good news? We've discovered that we're liars and we're insane. I'm going to tell you there is some good news about it. Because anybody that knows that knows they need a Savior. Right? Okay? And you know why he came? He came to restore us to our sanity. Okay? And the question is, do you want to be healed? And the problem is the mind. Isn't that good that Jesus revealed to us the problem was the way I think? What if he'd have told you your hands were bad? Change your hands. Oh, God. He didn't. He said, change your mind. There's the problem in your mind. Carol, I'm going to pick on you again because you're pretty good at it. Tell me why you're not a cannibal.
Because I wasn't raised that way.
You weren't raised to be a cannibal. In other words, you never chose not to be one. I had the lady in the last class said to me, because my mother and daddy taught me that was wrong. I said, "Oh, really? Would you describe the moment they sat down with you and told you, 'Honey, you know it's wrong to eat people'?" And she looked at me and I said, "Your mom and dad never taught you that at all, did they?" "No." But I said, "Did they ever eat people?" "Oh, no." "So therefore you think it's wrong." "That's right." Okay. So now, folks, this right here will really open up an area of understanding if you can stand it. But you're going to have a little bit of humility to stand this. You know, I remember the humility thing I did yesterday. In other words, if I was talking to a room full of people now and there were cannibals, and I told them there's something wrong with it, I might be the noon meal. Do you understand what I'm saying? So is it possible that maybe we're just as insane as the cannibals? And if you're not careful, you're going to want to eat me for lunch. You're not going to listen. Because we really think we're all right.